Chapter 2. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by men but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Let's bow our heads together in prayer this morning. Our Father, our God, our King, we rejoice and delight that we can come into your presence together today to worship you. Lord, we owe you everything that we have, all that we are. We want to lay at your feet this morning, and we pray that you will powerfully move in our midst and just liberate our hearts, Lord, to praise and worship you. We pray that you will move in ways that will change us, Lord. We don't want to go away from here the same people that we came. We want your Spirit to minister to us, to speak to us through your word, to encounter us in the communion, Lord, and just to liberate us, to lift our hearts to you. So please come, Lord, help us and do that which we cannot do for ourselves. Hear us, we pray, Lord. We come in our weakness looking to you in your great strength and love, and we pray in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Let's stand together.
Meals, there's all sorts of wonderful holy business to transact, and it's a great joy this morning not only to be taking communion together but to see something of the fruit of Jesus dying and rising for us in welcoming new brothers and sisters into the life of the church, and in having the joy this morning to hear about how the Lord is moving in the life of one family and setting them apart for ministry in the city of Washington, D.C. A very, very joyful moment for us in the life of this church. I want to give a special welcome this morning to somebody worshiping with us this morning who's one of the deacons of the church that is such a gracious host to us here in this building. Brother Grim Abar. Grim, where are you? You there? Grim, welcome. Let's welcome Grim and the congregation here in the name of the Lord. As we prepare to take communion this morning, will you take your Bibles and turn to the book of Ephesians? The book of Ephesians and the second chapter. Verse 19. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy people in the Lord. And you too also. How Paul must have absolutely thrilled to be able to address Gentiles who are excluded from the temple and tell them that they were included in the new building that God was doing. You're included, all of you together, to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. Let me preface just a few remarks I want to make out of that passage this morning, just to convey some information to you as a church family. As you know, we have been greatly blessed of the Lord as a church in being able to use this facility. The congregation that has been here have always been gracious hosts to us. I was thinking early this morning of meetings many, many years ago. Pastor at that time was Steve Wilsey. I still keep in touch with Steve from time to time. Precious brother in the Lord. I remember the first time we met, he had John Stott's book, The Cross of Christ, on his desk, and he was reading it, and I just finished reading it, and we just had a great time of fellowship talking about the cross of Jesus Christ. In recent days, just over the last few days, our deacons and elders have been in conversation and discussion with the leadership here at SDA, and the matter of our new lease has been subject under discussion. As you know, we are not a church that owns a building, but the body of Christ, as represented by congregations like these, have blessed us and shared what the Lord has given to them. And what I want to do this morning is to invite you and urge every committed member of this body to be greatly in prayer for wisdom to the elders and to the deacons, and to decisions that need to be made in the response to the new lease, and to an increase in the costs to the church. That we just know what the Lord wants us to do at this time. I urge you to please be sure to read your pastoral letter this week as we convey to you some of the decisions that we need to make as a church family, and that all this will be done with our faces towards heaven, with an open heart to hear from the Lord and to do what He tells us to do. Amen? Amen. It leads me to say to you by way of encouragement this morning. In fact, I was joking with the newcomers class. We had a newcomers class this morning. And we're going to welcome several new brothers and sisters into the church this morning. Yes. And, you know, I thought, isn't this interesting? You know, just at a time in church life, here we are, we're just praying about where God wants us to meet as a church and decisions we should make about building and offices and everything else, that we're gathering around the Lord's table. How appropriate. That's what we want to do this morning. Welcoming new folk into the church, sending out others. That's the definition of what the building of the Lord is. But I was teasing the newcomers. A few weeks ago, I happened to make an off-the-cuff comment in the class and say, you know, well, we're not a church with a building, so I can't tell you that you're joining a deeply rooted institution. And in fact, I said to them, you know, we go on a year-to-year lease, and at the time that we actually spoke and had the class, we were on a month-to-month arrangement here. Divine theology for the church is the image, the household of faith. Paul says you are a kingdom and citizens, and you are a household of faith. Now, the church, of course, as it used to meet where? Used to meet in the homes. That's where the church was. In fact, the word church was never applied to a building for the first three or four centuries of church life. If people wanted to know where the church was, they always pointed to people, never pointed to a place. And that's what we want, isn't it? Never pointed to a place. And although that explains something of why the household image was so important in Paul's understanding of the church, it's a little deeper than that. Because when Paul goes on to teach, it's not simply about the household as place, it's about the household as people. And it becomes the key image for him presenting the issue of relationships of believers within the body of Christ. And of course, it's the language of family that therefore becomes the dominant language in the church, most particularly brother and sister. We have brothers and we have sisters. It is the language of family. But then Paul goes on and does something a little interesting. He then goes on and says, you're a building. And at first that's kind of puzzling, because it's like, well, a kingdom, yeah, we get that. That sounds good in theology. You know, kingdom of God, and that's clear in Scripture, Genesis to Revelation. Household, that's a little more personal. Wouldn't you expect Paul to get even more personal? What's he doing going back now from saying we're a nice close family and now saying we're a building? I prefer the family image. How many prefer the family image to a building image? Yeah, I mean, it's kind of... And yet, it's very important to read on and see what he's actually doing here. You see, the point of this image is not simply that it's a building. What he's after is a place where God dwells. The point of that is, it's the habitation of God. It's not about the building, it's about who lives in it. And so it really is a logical extension of his development, from the kingdom to the family to the very intimacy of the presence of God. And the word, of course, that he uses here for temple is not just a general word for big temple. It's the word that was used for the inner sanctum. No wonder he says to the Corinthians, you who build the church, take care how you build. Because what we're dealing with is not a bunch of organizational rules and a rearrangement of bricks. What we're dealing with is the presence of the living God. And I want to just remind you of that this morning, at a time in church life where we are seeking the Lord, even about where it is we would meet. One deacon, Riley, apparently said to another, walking out of the last deacon's meeting, isn't it great that we're in a series on Abraham and pilgrimage and packing up tents? That may be a very profound prophetic word. But we are a pilgrim people. And whatever the Lord does for us, however He provides, and He will provide for our needs, this is a wonderful opportunity in our church life to all together again like little children, almost like we were starting over again. Say, Lord, where is our trust? What is it that establishes our identity? Simply place? Is it still more important to us what we see in you, Jesus, than even what we find in a church? Isn't it what we see in Jesus that's still more important than what we find in a church? And, you know, Tom happened to read that passage out of Peter this morning. I'm going to talk to you a few minutes off notes, because if I go on to notes, we'll never leave here. So let me just go off notes. He read that passage about lively stones. Right in keeping with Paul's image when he talks about a building that grows. See, buildings don't grow. He talks about a vibrant building that grows. It's the agricultural and engineering image brought together in the same way that Peter talks about living stones. Stones that live, that breathe. And at a time in our church life where we're seeking the Lord and praying about the functional structure where we should meet, let's remember that Paul is concerned that we understand the family image of brothers. But you know something? Families break up. Do you know that? Most people's experience of family, they realize that families aren't always enough to guarantee security. There are some of you in church who know that. There's something therefore very endearing with the way he says we're not only brothers and sisters, but we're also bricks. Now normally when you call somebody a brick, it's not a compliment. You know, we have a phrase, as thick as a brick, is one that comes to mind, one which I've been called many times. But here's what Paul is saying. We are brothers, but we're brothers that are bricked together. And it is then in Ephesians 2 that he lays this pristine, beautiful presentation of what the church is. And he says there are three things. Number one, whatever's happening in your outside life, whatever's happening in your circumstances, whatever's going on in your church life, make sure you have the right foundation. He says the foundation is the teachings of the apostles and prophets. Does that make the apostles more important a foundation than Jesus? No. Scripture says there's no other foundation laid than that which is laid in Jesus Christ. But the teaching of the apostles and prophets is telling us that the foundation of a church is not our programs, it's not our charisma, it's not our miracles, it's not a success recipe. It's about a message, and the message is Jesus. The foundation is Jesus. And that foundation does not grow. The building grows, the foundation doesn't grow. You can't add to it, you can't take away from it, you can't divide it, you can't do anything with it. It's established once and for all. It's Jesus. So you check your foundation. And then he says you check your angle. Jesus is the cornerstone. He's the one we get our angle from. We can't even get our angle from one another. It's not enough for us to work out our church involvement or our discipleship based on how our brother's doing. There's a legitimate place for imitating those who are moving on with God. Paul invited people to imitate him, not in an arrogant way, but we get our angle from Jesus. We're called to look even past one another, past every aspect of church life that is visible, to Jesus, the cornerstone. There is a foundation that is teaching Jesus. There is an angle. Jesus. And then the third element he mentions there in that Ephesians 2 passage I read was he makes up a word. In fact, he puts all these ideas together, the idea of being chosen, the idea of being together, the idea of being joined. That lovely phrase, fitly framed. We're like the bits of the building, the joists that all go together. And like in any building, we start to creak a bit and wobble, you know, and find our place in relationship with one another. Foundation, Jesus. Cornerstone, Jesus. This is what the building's about. And our fitly framed relationship with one another in the name of the Lord Jesus, being as Christ to one another. And there you have a building. What kind of building do we need as a church? That is the building that we need. That is the building that we need. And you know what? You don't actually need a physical building to have that. Because when this system folds up, if we as a church were to lose our legal status as a corporation and were to be stripped of every asset, guess what? The building keeps growing. You still have a building. You still have a building. Because you still have Jesus, foundation, cornerstone, and melding our lives together. Let me just make a comment about that building image that Tom referred to in his reading at the beginning of the service. There are two little ideas there about those living stones that relate to what I've said. First of all, we've been chosen. We've been stones that have been chosen. And I want each of you to know that this morning. You have been chosen personally by the master architect. If I ever did have a functional building, I'd like a church. My idea of a church notice board is a bit like one of those construction sign boards that you see downtown. You know, where, what's a big DC builder? You know, they have their big name there and all the architects. I'd like a church notice board outside that looked just like a construction site. You know, God the architect, you know, consultants, Jesus and the Holy Spirit, you know, whatever. I mean, you know, basically, you know, let it be established by the sign exactly what kind of building is really going on here. But what each of you need to know this morning as you come to this communion, and we're going to serve communion a little differently this morning just to rub this point home, that personally you've been chosen by the master architect to be a part of his building. Hallelujah. But you know, we're a bit like stones that are found in the quarry. How many of you are prepared to admit publicly that you're a bit irregular? I'm extremely irregular. And you know, when it comes to building with irregular stones, how many of you know the Lord starts to do something with some of your irregularities? Now, it would be easy, wouldn't it, for as a stone to say, just pad me thick with mortar, God. Find a huge space, just pile on the mortar, you know, just cover up all the irregularities and just shove me in some huge place in the church wall. Because the more mortar you put in, unfortunately, the more insulated you become from other stones. The less we deal with our irregularities, the more isolated we continue to live, even in community. But here's the point, that the Lord not only chooses us as a stone for the spiritual building, but his work in us is to chisel us and to hone us to be the part in his wall that we are called to be. First in relation to the cornerstone, the angle, and then in relationship to one another. I'm no different to you. I want to resist the chiseling process. It's interesting, isn't it, the Old Testament description of the building of the temple. It says that all the stones were crafted at the quarry. There was no noise of hammer on stone heard at the temple. It's a lovely image. There was no racket around the temple. That was all done off somewhere in private. There's a lot to learn there. A lot to learn there. And I want to just, at this communion, at a time in our church life where we're seeking the Lord about so many things, including where we should meet, which is no small matter. It's no small matter. On behalf of the leadership of the church, I want to lovingly commit you, living stone, to that continuing quarrying work of the Holy Spirit in your life. Most of it will probably take place in private, far away from the public exchange of our public services. But the one thing we don't need around the church, and we don't want around the church, and I pray to God that this man never contributes to church life, is the noise that comes out of our own mouth when we're sweating in the strength of our own intelligence and our own efforts, trying to make things happen, trying to shape things our way, trying to make them conform to a predisposed plan that we have for the body of Christ, and it just won't do. It just won't do. And therefore, I'm saying to you on behalf of the leadership, we're at a very wonderful, peaceful place of submission. In fact, I was away in Ghana last week, as you know, teaching, and someone called me and let me know that there were some discussions about where we were going to meet and if we were going to be able to meet and all the rest of it. And my response was, hallelujah, praise the Lord, another invitation to seek the Lord. But there's no need for a whole lot of hullabaloo noise, is there? Because the Lord is quarrying and crafting us, bringing us together. And the noise of human effort and human panic and human worry, it doesn't need to be around where the Lord is present. Do you agree, saints? Do you agree? And as we come to communion this morning, we're going to serve communion a little differently. We're going to invite you to come forward this morning so that we can serve you at the front. And one of the things I want you just to sense as you come forward and we personally serve you the bread and the cup, is take hold of that personal fact that you are an individual living brick in the body of Christ. You have all of God's personal attention. And maybe as you take the cup and you go back to the seats, you sit down and you say, Lord, and I thank you that you're chiseling me to be a part of your spiritual building and to take my place with other brothers and sisters in the corporate expression of the Church of Jesus Christ. Living Stones, what's the building we're after? A spiritual building. Founded on Jesus, formed by Jesus, framed by Jesus. And as I take this communion this morning, there's a lot of things I don't know, dear ones. But there's one thing I do know. I know there's plenty of chiseling work left on this stone. I know that Jesus has died, and in his death there is a foundation for the church. In his resurrection there is an angle for all of our lives forevermore. And that resurrected life between us will keep the building growing. Amen? Now what a great day for some of our brothers and sisters to be welcomed into the body of Christ. We're welcoming them to a spiritual building, aren't we? Not to an institution made by men, but to something built by Jesus. If you believe that, say amen. 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 Let me give you a little practical instruction as we take communion together. And after communion, we're going to do some family business. We're going to pray some together. We're going to share some things with you. We're going to pray for people. We're going to bless people. We're going to welcome people. I think we're even saying goodbye to some people this morning. Real family time. But here's the instruction. We're going to serve at the front. All of you who are ex-Episcopalians will be able to do this with your eyes shut. The rest of you will probably do what you normally do and completely mess it up. So I need you just to listen very carefully. And you don't need to be awkward or like, you know, what do I do next? We'll get to you. And by the way, in this church, it doesn't matter to us if we appear messy. Sometimes meal tables times are messy, aren't they? The main thing is the presence of Jesus and being able to take that bread and take that cup, because we know he's our personal savior. And we're a living stone in his spiritual building that's growing and going to continue to grow. You'll be released by ushers from your row. I'd like those of you this side just to come and line up here. And those of you this side to line up here. And there'll be an usher that will release you, so there's plenty of space. And I'd like you to line up at least a yard and a half in, about halfway back. Don't line up against the front seat, just about halfway between here. And we're going to serve you the bread and serve you the cup. And when you've taken, you can just slip out of the row. You just step back and you can make your way back to your seat, down the side aisle. There'll be one of the members of our junior high Sunday school class there just to take your cup as you go by and go back to your seats. And I want you to encourage something when you get back to your seats. If you need to just commune quietly with the Lord and thank him, Jesus, you thank him. But maybe with a friend or two, just gather. And let's just have prayer rising all around the spiritual building as others continue to take communion. Give a personal thank you to the Lord. And ask the Lord to lead us, will you? Ask the Lord to show us which way we should go at this season of our church life as others are taking communion. If you're here this morning and you need to be anointed with oil, according to Scripture, or you need prayer, the elders will be available just here over at the side. And when you've taken communion, just slip out to them, and we'll pray for you and lay hands on you and anoint you with oil and stand with you in your request from the living God. And when everyone's served communion, we'll gather together and we'll worship the Lord together and we'll transact some holy family business together. If that sounds good to you, will you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. All right, let's pray. We come, dear Father, as children this morning to a table in the household of faith. We acknowledge that you have spread the table. We acknowledge the great cost. We acknowledge this morning, dear Father, that what Paul wrote about wasn't some fancy original idea of his. For was it not you, precious Jesus, who said that if we obey you and love you, you would love us, you set your love on us, and you said that you and your Father would come and make house with us. You would come and make our hearts your home. And we stand on the basis of your teaching, Jesus. We acknowledge that you have fulfilled the covenant of the Father. We acknowledge that you are the fulfillment of the tabernacle. and that now there are no more holy buildings other than the body of Christ which you build. We acknowledge that you are the one that tabernacled among us. We acknowledge that we are the ones who are made a dwelling in whom you have your presence, O God. We acknowledge at this table this morning, Lord, that you have fulfilled the priesthood. Forgive us, Lord, when we set up men and women as our priests, as our surrogates for you. But at this communion, we acknowledge you alone are our high priest. And we come personally to you, each one of us. We thank you we don't need to go through men. We come straight to you. We acknowledge this morning at this communion, Lord, that you're the fulfillment of all sacrifices. And that we need not invent any new ones. And we choose in our preparation to die to our legalisms and die to our dead works. Lord, we're riddled with our styles and our thoughts about ourselves, our methods and our techniques, and we choose to die to all that, Lord. And we say there is no other sacrifice acceptable but the sacrifice of your perfect life. And we accept it, even as the Father accepted it. And we come, Lord. Lord, I come to you. I feel such a child this morning, Lord. And as I gather with my brothers and sisters in this household, I confess to you publicly, Lord, there's so many things I don't know. But with them and together with them, I say, we know something about you, Jesus. We know something about you. We know that you've set your love on us. And we know that even hitherto, Ebenezer, up till now you've helped us. You'll continue to help us, and you'll continue to lead us, and you'll continue to provide, and it'll be glorious and a blessing. Lord, as we come to this communion in this particular building that functions as a place of worship and a gathering of the saints, I pray for the congregation that meets here. I thank you for them, Lord. Lord, I look back over the years. I thank you for their kindness to us. I thank you for their fairness to us. I thank you for their dealings with us, even now. And I thank you for their concerns. And we just, at this Holy Communion, Lord, as a church, we set ourselves afresh apart to you, to know your will and to do it. And we thank you that we are all brothers and sisters if we know and love you in the kingdom of God. And I pray you will help us to pursue each other's good more than our own. And I pray, Lord Jesus, we'll be able to put on display to a watching world how good you are in providing for us. And I say to you this morning, oh my Lord, will you please take from us anything in which we put our hope that is not you? And will you give me and all of us a renewed conviction in our hearts that the building which you're building is a spiritual building. And we claim by faith, Lord, an increase in the spiritual building that's going on here among us. And we pray for more growth and more multiplication in every area of our life, Lord Jesus. We pray for a new thing among us in Jesus' holy name. And I pray, Lord, for each one of us as our mouth takes that bread and we take that cup this morning. Will you do what no teacher, no preacher can do? Will you convince us that we're chosen by you, a precious, lively stone? And as we go back to our pews, Lord, will you give us the joy and relief that we're with others in this wall? Keep chiseling us, Lord. We submit our life to your chisel. Keep honing us, Lord Jesus, and conform us to the image that you want in your building, in Jesus' holy, precious name. And all the people said, amen. Thank you that your table's a good place to pray for one another. And I just pray, Lord Jesus, you will lay your life around that rawness and that tenderness and nurture them, Lord Jesus, this morning. There are some situations here this morning, Lord, that we don't represent, that we don't understand. There is suffering represented here that we don't understand. But we submit it to you this morning, what we don't understand, Lord. Don't let us resist and rebel and question in an unbelieving way. We submit that to you at this table this morning, kindly shepherd. We ask all these things in your name. Amen. Amen. Just wonder, Kurt, would you come forward? Kurt Ashburn. Judy, would you come and stand with Kurt? this is really exciting this morning. We have prayed that the Lord would lead us and send to us those we need and raise up from this body those who would minister in this city. And I want to invite Kurt just to give you a little update this morning on something of the way the Lord's been leading him and Judy and the family. And then we're going to go to prayer for him. Kurt, my brother, I'm glad the Lord led you our way.
Me too.
Hey.
For those of you who don't know us, we are one of those stones that's been prepared elsewhere and brought in to fit into this body of Christ, this expression of it. We didn't come from nowhere. We didn't all of a sudden appear and move into this opportunity. We've been in the city for about 14 years now, 9 of those in Anacostia and Southeast. And so rather than have us here all along, which would have been wonderful as far as we're concerned, God has been preparing us elsewhere and now has brought us here. And in the 2 years that we have been attending this congregation, the leadership has said to us, let us know where you think you fit in, how you think you fit in, and we'll work to see what the Lord wants to do. And so it's tempting when you're going through hard times financially and in other ways to just make something up and just say, well, let's do this. And yet we really weren't able to do that. And last October, Bob Matthew from Anacostia Gospel Chapel, who Judy and I have known for many years, and who this congregation supports and works with in Southeast, and who sends his children from Camp Dynamite to the camp that my ministry, the camp that my ministry owns, and that Judy runs in the summer. And Bob came to me and asked me if I would be open to working with him, really as his assistant, in helping him take advantage of a lot of the opportunities that he has in Southeast. And this really was a dream come true, because Bob and I have the same vision for Southeast, the same vision that this church has for going in and claiming the land. And so at that moment, then I felt like this is where I need to come to Stuart and Tom and say, here's an opportunity that's presented. This feels right. This seems like what God wants us to do. And we want to do it not just as part of Bob's work, but being sent out from Christ our Shepherd Church and being under your authority and going to do that. We feel like we have been prepared for this moment, and that this congregation has been prepared for this moment. And that it has to be both of those things and not just one of them. Either that you are simply ready to go into Southeast, or we are ready to go into Southeast, but that we are all together committed to doing that, because it is a serious undertaking. And the role that I would be playing with Bob is the implementation of many different opportunities that he has. The role that I would be playing from this congregation would be one of a liaison between what we're specifically doing with Bob, with what's happening with the Valley Green ministry that we have, acting as an advisor for what we are doing as a church in Valley Green and other places, and also acting as a pastor and spiritual guide for those who are involved in Southeast, because that's a spiritual battle that's going on there, and we need to provide closer spiritual coverage for the people that we send into that mission field. And they are doing a marvelous work in relative anonymity, But I think about the fact that at 42 years old, my parents still worry about us in Southeast. You see? And so I know that those folks that are going over there from our congregation have parents or husbands and wives or sons or daughters that are concerned about their spiritual well-being and their physical safety. And I see our role as being one of protection and of guidance and of training so that when we send people in, we know what we're doing. This is not something to take lightly. We're going to have marvelous victories, but we are also going to experience some defeats and some tragedies. And we need to be serious about this task. So we believe that we've come to a moment that God has prepared us for. As I watched you come and eat and drink the body and blood of Jesus Christ, it seems to me that we are saying that we are identifying with him and with his sacrifice and looking forward to his resurrection. And that means that together we need not be afraid to go in and take the land. So if I might just close by sharing from Numbers chapter 13, where Moses sent the spies into the land. And I'd like to have anyone who has been over to Valley Green in any capacity just to stand very quickly. Just stand for me. I know who you are. Stand up. Look at this. These are the Calebs and the Joshuas. And I will dare to speak for them. When Moses sent the spies in, he said, "See what the land is like and whether the people who live there are strong or weak, few or many. What kind of land do they live in? Is it good or bad? What kind of towns do they live in? Are they unwalled or fortified? How is the soil? Is it fertile or poor? Are there trees on it or not? Do your best to bring back some of the fruit of the land." We're not going over to conquer a people. We're going over to break the powers, the principalities and the powers and the authorities of the kingdom of darkness that exists there. So in these references to people, it's the powers that we're going to break. But we have brought back some of the fruit. And if you want to see and taste some of that fruit, you go and just see what they're doing and sit down with some of the children that they're working with, and you'll see that the fruit is good. So they went over, and when they came back, 10 of those 12 spies reported, "We went into the land to which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey. Here is its fruit, but the people who live there are powerful, and the cities are fortified and very large." Then Caleb silenced the people before Moses, and he said, "We should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it." So Stuart and Tom and all of you who walked up here and ate and drank the body and blood of Jesus Christ, we can do it. But the men who had gone up with them said, "We can't attack these people. They are stronger than we are." And they spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land they had explored. "The land we explored devours those who are living in it. We seem like grasshoppers in our own eyes." And they rebelled against the Lord. And the Lord said, "Then don't go. And I will bring a plague on you and strike you down." And Moses said, "Lord, please don't do that to these people. For then the enemy will look at us and say, 'You see, the Lord has failed.'" And so the Lord said, and Moses said to him, "In accordance with your great love, forgive the sin of these people for not going into the land, just as you have pardoned them from the time they left Egypt." And the Lord said, "I will forgive them, but they will not ever enter that land. And they will die in the wilderness, and their children will inherit the land." And those people, after realizing that they had sinned, decided on their own that they would go into the land and conquer it. And Moses said, "Don't do it. The Lord is not with you, and you will be destroyed." Nevertheless, in their presumption, they went up toward the high hill country, though neither Moses nor the Ark of the Lord's covenant moved from the camp. And the enemy came from the high hill country and attacked them and beat them down. Now is the moment to make the decision. God needs people who can help us with technology and law and education and computers and carpentry and economic development. But now is the moment. And the Lord is ready with His covenant to go with us. And we are pleased to be part of what God is doing here in this congregation. And thank you from the bottom of our hearts for this opportunity. Amen.
Would you take the hand of your neighbor? Kurt's been involved in ministry in the city for many years. Many of you know, pioneering computer learning centers in neighborhoods, preaching, teaching. But this is a really new season in Kurt and Judy's life and their family's life. And I thank the Lord for bringing them into relationship with us. And what we're doing here is no light thing. And we're going to pray for a covering on their life. And there's a two-way street here in terms of we as a congregation taking responsibility to care for them. We have prayed that the Lord would send workers out of this body to our own area. And the Lord has sent them to us, and they are first fruits with all those who've stood the years of developing relationship. And this is holy and it is sacred and it is serious in the way that Kurt has presented it. Lord, we come to you. We acknowledge you as head of the church. I thank you for the way you've led Kurt and Judy in their pilgrimage and their family. Lord, I can remember years ago hearing about Kurt and never thinking, Lord, that one day I'd know him as a friend. And I thank you for bringing him into my life and the life of this congregation with his family. I thank you for the way he has come in and out among us and has rooted in the life of this body. I thank you you've saved him, Lord, just from doing things with the strength of his own hand. Lord, there's been a lot of prayer that's gone to heaven about what you wanted them to do. I thank you for Bob Matthew this morning. I thank you for the church there. And I thank you, Lord, for the way that in your timing you brought all these pieces together. I thank you for the other churches like Fourth Prayers and McLean that are co-partnering in this. And Lord, we as a congregation, we say thank you this morning for bringing them to us and for sending them out. And Lord, we just feel like kids all day today, Lord. We don't know the end from the beginning. We don't even know all we're getting into. But we know, Lord, that if you've led us thus far, we can trust you for the next step. And I pray for Kurt and Judy and their family. I pray, Lord, that this call will grip their hearts and call every aspect of their life into conformity with your will. I pray, Lord Jesus, for your provision in every aspect of their life. I pray for their home there in Anacostia, for your protection upon it. I pray, Lord Jesus, for a fresh anointing upon his life.
Yes.
The very depths of his being, Lord Jesus, for fresh transactions between him and his God.
Yes.
And I ask, Lord Jesus, for the wisdom that comes from above in the forming of these relationships. I think of meetings, Lord, we're even involved in the next few days, all for your wisdom, Lord. For we dare not go up in the flesh, Lord Jesus, for the reasons we've heard read from Scripture. But we do want to go up armed in the power of your Spirit.
Yes.
I pray for Judy, Lord. I pray for a one fleshness in this ministry.
Yes.
That'll be awesome and powerful and protecting. I pray for the children, Lord Jesus. I pray that they will learn in every aspect of their life that they never lose out when their parents do the will of God.
And I pray, Lord, against any work of the enemy that would try to get at them or unsettle them. I pray for a mantle of peace upon every child. I pray for success to them in school. I pray for success to them in their friendships. And I pray for great freedom to them, Lord Jesus, in their spiritual growth and their personal relationship with you. And let it never be said, Lord, by any looking on in this family, that there was anything that they gave up in following you in this call that you didn't more than replenish in their life. Pray for physical safety, Lord Jesus, intensely for them. I ask, Lord, for the relationships that Kurt already has in this city, that they'll come under a fresh sanctifying touch. Lord, we don't want to just follow human networks, although we thank you for them, but let them be clearly led of you. And I ask, Lord Jesus, that you will birth something in us and in our congregation. We submit ourselves, Lord, I submit myself to my brother Kurt. And as a church, we mutually submit our lives one to another. Use him in our body, Lord, to teach us what we need to know, to strengthen and equip us in mission. Let there be an investment of your life in him, in the life of this congregation. I pray for the relationship between Kurt and Judy and the team working at Valley Green, that it'll be precious and sweet, forbearing and patient and kind and loving and fruitful, each seeking the other's good more than their own. And Lord, we lift up to you this morning. I pray for Jackie Massey. I pray for the political council there in Valley Green. I pray for every worker. I pray for every precious child. We bring to you, Lord, the encouragements and the many discouragements. And we ask, Lord Jesus, for a flow of your Holy Spirit. It's not flesh and blood, Lord. Lord, we need something more than even we're seeing. And we pray for it this morning. We would not be those that have not because we ask not. Come in, Lord Jesus, we pray. And for everyone who stood this morning, I pray for a fresh touch on their life and fresh encouragement, that they will know your reward, Lord Jesus, and they will know that their labor is not in vain. Now, Lord, I pray for the financial provision needed. Lord, we are moving by faith and not by sight. You know the needs we're looking at, Lord Jesus. We're moving in obedience here and not according to the budget. And I pray that you'll open heaven and you will release the finances that we need as a body to support this family, support this couple, beyond, Lord, already what we're committed to, and that this ministry will be well-rooted and well-established, and that Bob won't have to bear any burden, Lord Jesus, more than he's bearing right now. That we can lift these burdens off our brothers and let them loose and free to do the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We all ask this in your name. Amen. Just where you are on the seat with two or three around you, will you just pray what the Lord's put on your heart? Pray for Valley Green, pray for Anacostia, and pray for Kurt and Judy and their family. Whatever prayer the Lord puts on your heart, to pray for them. Your attendance in our family time, but we are trusting the Lord for a supply of finances, and we're going to be taking a special offering next Sunday, a special offering towards this ministry and the rooting of this work. There are some finances that the Lord has wonderfully supplied through some other churches and also through Bob's ministry. And we're going to ask the Lord to help us as a church to play a significant role in it as well. We're not setting any limit on what the Lord's going to do, although we're well aware of the needs. And the needs are large, but we're going to trust the Lord. And so I ask you to think about it. We're not going to take a knee-jerk offering this morning, but to think about it and pray about it and seek the Lord and ask him what he would have you do. And we will take an offering next Sunday. How many are ready for lunch? Next Sunday we'll be continuing our series in the Word. It'll probably be my last message on the Abraham part of it before we go on to Isaac and Jacob and Joseph. Yes, there's more to come. And aren't you glad it could stop there? So come next Sunday with your Bible. Come to worship and praise the Lord and learn from the Word. If you're at the end of the row, will you please pass the blue book? Who've been worshiping with us and really believe this is the place that God wants them for this season of their life, would you just come forward, because I want to introduce you to everybody. Will you just come forward to the front of the church? Hallelujah. Look at these wonderful brothers and sisters. Come forward. Yeah. Don't face me. Just, you can, don't all hide behind. I know this is terribly embarrassing. Look at this. This is great. Look. Man, is this the best looking church you've ever seen or what? I'll tell you something. The thing I loved about meeting with these brothers and sisters, and I said to them in the class, this is the kind of group that you just want to go out and plant a church with. And tremendous encouragement to me. I want you to know what encouragement you've been to me. I appreciate the life of Jesus in you. And on behalf of the body of Christ here, we've been praying for you, and we desperately need you. I think we've told you that. We desperately need you. And I just want to ask you a couple of questions. I want to first ask you, we'll go from Eric all the way through to Kevin at the end. Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior and your Lord? And do you acknowledge that He alone is the head of the church? Amen. Do you believe after prayer and counsel and godly deliberation that it is God's will for you to be joined to and thus identified with this local body of believers for as long as the Lord so wills? Do you expect to receive the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ through these, your fellow believers? And do you expect to so minister Christ to us that together we will witness a manifestation of the Holy Spirit for the profit of every member? Do you agree together and with us that there is only one shepherd, Jesus, and that He is worthy and He can be trusted? Then on confession of your agreement, on behalf of the elders and the deacons and the members of this body, I want to welcome you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, each one of you, and remind you this morning that you are what we were talking about earlier, your stones that the Lord has brought, because we need you in the wall here, in this building. And I pray for you, as I pray for my own life, that at any point at which God leads you or us to some other circumstances, or to leave the city, or leave this town, or to even be transferred in the army of God to another fellowship within this area, that it'll be your joy to leave behind you a savor of Jesus and a legacy, a holy legacy that speaks of Jesus and the labor of love and of faith and of good works. Congregation, will you stand this morning? I want to read you the word of the Lord. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion and kindness and humility and gentleness and patience. Bear with each other. Forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. And all the body said,
Amen.
Amen. We want to sing you something. We always do this. This isn't spooky. We want to sing you something. All right, here it goes.
Won't you let us be your servants? Let us be as Christ to you. Pray that we might have the grace to let you be my servant.
Verse 2, very relevant.
We are pilgrims on a journey. We are brothers on the road. We are here to help each other walk the mile and bend.
Verse 5.
When we sing to God in heaven, we shall find such harmony.
Lord, that is our prayer this morning. We acknowledge with each one of these dear ones, for Kevin and Leslie, Lord, and David and Melissa and Nina and Suzanne and the precious children, and dear Crystal, Lord, and Janice and Holly and Mike and Vega and Cindy and Stephanie and Cindy, Lord Jesus, and Christy and Trudy and Eric, everyone, Lord Jesus, personally wooed by yourself. And we ask you as a congregation this morning to give us that serving, loving heart towards them that holds them gentle and holds them precious and treats them right. in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that seeks their good more than their own. I'm threatened by the life and gifts of Jesus in them, but making space for them to be who they want to be and need to be in the church of the living God. And we prophesy a blessing on each one of you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, expressing great gratitude to the Lord that He would have trusted you to us. And we ask the Lord to empower us to keep that trust. In Jesus' name, and all the people said, amen. Amen. Let's welcome them in the name of the Lord. Yes, we need you. We're probably tired and we're probably hungry. We're fed, Lord Jesus, your bread and your blood. You feed us. And as we go down, Lord, to just continue our agape time together, will you bless the food to do us good? Will you bless our fellowship? Let there be encouragement and an exchange, Lord Jesus, that is good to us. Hallelujah. Yes, thank you. While you, Robert and Alicia, will you come forward? Having welcomed people, we've just got to say goodbye to a couple this morning. That's not so easy to do. Robert? I didn't see Alicia. Is Alicia there? Oh, look how big these kids are now. Golly. Yeah. Wow. Oh. And last time you were up here, you were babies. I can't believe it. I can't believe it. Many of you know, Alicia is the daughter of Paul and Les Yates. Paul, one of the elders here in the church. And I've known Alicia for many years now when she was at college. And then we got to know Robert as the Lord brought Robert into Alicia's life. We've had the privilege in this church of dedicating their little ones. And I remember, Robert, I don't know if you remember, they lived quite a way away from the church and they needed a place to go. And I remember we talked and we said, well, wherever the Lord leads you, but if you ever want to camp down here for a while, that's fine. But we've continued to pray through this time that the Lord would lead them to where He wants to be. And I am pleased to report to you this morning that their days of long traveling here are over. And the Lord has found them a place and a church that loves them, where they can root in, near to their home. Isn't that wonderful? They found a local church expression near to their home. It's with joy that we release them to the work of the Lord. Robert, do you just want to say anything? You haven't got a big, huge speech there? Or
well, no, I don't have a I don't have a big, huge speech, but I'm not good at extemporaneous speaking, so I prepared a little note so I don't forget anything. Last week, I was at a birthday party with some members of the church here, and one of the guys said to me, gee, you know, I haven't seen you for quite some time. I said, oh, you're kidding. I guess we just keep missing each other in the church. Are you sure you're going? I said to him. And he's like, yeah, I go every Sunday. I said, huh, that's funny. Then I told him, well, I hadn't been here since maybe August or September. After getting some advice from friends, I have a tired one here. She's, after getting some advice from family and friends and some of the leaders in the church, my wife and I have come to the conclusion that it's time to perhaps seek another church that's just a little bit more conducive for our family needs. Amen. This is the man that married us in this church almost 6 years ago. So we have strong ties with him and this church, the church body. It's been a tough decision. It's been a process. This has been our home, and we've gotten a lot of support when we needed it the most. We built a lot of good, I've built some good business relationships here, as well as some solid friendships. And we've received nothing but love and support from all of you. This is very difficult for my wife and I both. And like I said, it's been a long process in deciding, is this what we should do? And we didn't know if we were making the right decision, etc. So we've received nothing but support, and we thank you all as a church. And there was the commitment that you've had to myself, my wife, and my kids as they have grown up in this church. And thanks.
Thanks a lot. I mean, you see, Robert, you go, look at all the people we needed to take your place here, huh?
You know, it's very important to be able to leave a place with blessing. Do you know that? Make that a goal in your life, that you can always go on with blessing. Lord, we thank you for the sojourn that Alicia and Robert with their precious family have had in our congregation. We thank you for friendships, Lord, that will never pass away. And I ask, Lord, as they go, that they will go with a real sense of your blessing. Thank you for answering our prayers and finding them a wonderful local church that they can be a part of, near to their home, that's local to them. And Lord Jesus, as we welcome people in with blessing, we send these ones out with blessing. Lord, we confess it takes a little more grace to let go than to receive, but we ask for that grace now. And Robert and Alicia, I bless you. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I pray for your blessing on your marriage and your parenting, on your business, Robert, on your relationships, that the Lord will keep you, that the Lord's face will shine upon you, and that through the way that you live, both in public and private, the Lord's face will radiate with joy because of you. Go in peace. Thank you for the way that you have gone through this process, and we bless you with a whole heart. Please keep in touch with us, and I hope we get together at a few more birthday parties. I pray for the church they're going to and for their leadership. Prosper that church and bless it. And may each of them find a space for the gifts of God in them. In Jesus' name we pray. And all the people said, amen. Amen. Food is served downstairs, dear ones. Help yourself. Enjoy the fellowship. Next Sunday, normal service. Worship and the word. And out earlier. The Lord bless you. Hallelujah.